We will continue in our study and walking through worship in spirit and in truth. And I realize there's been a whole bunch of pieces and parts to this. We're going to look at some more of Hebrews chapter 10. John called me over this morning. He goes, "Hey, I'm kind of confused." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, the scripture text, ain't that the same one we had last week?" And I was like, "Yeah, it is. It's all right." There's so many things in this, and there's so many applications that can be made. And as we're looking at worship in spirit and in truth, this time together, we're moving more and more towards what's happening in this time together, what happens in our lives every day. And so I think there's just tons of things that God would have for us and show us in His Word, that you don't just kind of blow through. You need to kind of chew on some stuff. Anybody know what cows chewing on cud means? Well, that's kind of what meditating on God's Word is. It's like the cows, they go out and eat a bunch of grass and go back to the shade, and they lay there and they bring it back up and they chew on it some more, and they'll swallow it now, and then they'll bring it back up and chew on it some more. That's kind of what we're doing here with this text and some of these texts. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. And you'll notice, again, this is like a summation or a transition between what he's already said in chapter 10 and what he's saying moving forward. So there's a whole lot here, and we've been on this for several weeks now, so just remember that. But therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Father, we thank you for this text. I pray that today, Lord, in everything, that you be glorified. Father, I ask that you would protect us from error, that you would, Lord, speak through your word by your spirit empower your word in our lives to move us, mold us, make us more like Jesus, and Father, to grow us together as the body of Christ up into him who is our head. And I pray that, Father, you'd help me in every way. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've talked a bunch about worship in the last several weeks, and we've moved into this place now of Hebrews chapter 10. And we've come to kind of the summation of this as this statement that we began last week of verse 24. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. When we think about this text, this one question needs to kind of, as we stated last week, needs to kind of permeate our thinking. And everything that we do, when we come together for worship, in order for it to be worship in spirit and in truth, everything must kind of look at this one question. Will this purify our hearts? Will it solidify our confession? Will it stimulate us to love and good deeds? And will it be an encouragement to us as the day draws near? See, that's kind of what this is for. Our worship should do all of those things. And when you start thinking about worship, even the elements of worship, the pieces and parts and the things that we're doing, are those things purifying our hearts? Are those things solidifying our confession? Do I leave here more convinced that God has saved me, provided all that I need for life and godliness each time that we're together? Am I stimulated to love and good deeds? And that's kind of where we're going to be today. Because there's two things that we see there. The first is stimulation to love. Stimulation to love. And in stimulation of love, or to love, you first have to ask, love who? Or love what? Well, that's pretty easy. I don't know, it seems like Sunday school said the same thing, and all of these things keep saying the same thing. It's love God. And love, come on, y'all got to wake up today. Love your neighbor. Love God, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? So if I'm going to be stimulated to love, first and foremost, what do you think I'm going to be stimulated to love? Or who am I going to be stimulated to love but God? And we see in this text all of the things that he's done for us, right? He's given us entrance into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. He's created this new way that he inaugurated through his flesh, through the veil, that is his flesh. He's given us a high priest now who stands to intercede for us. All of those things draw me to love God. We see that from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That's the same verse that Jesus quoted. It's the same intent. It is to draw us first and foremost to love God. And then sometimes, and I remember in a church service one time, we had a discussion, and it was, well, which is greater, to love God or to love your neighbor? And it was kind of an interesting conversation, because Jesus even says, well, the first one is the greatest one, to love God with everything that you are. Why do you love God? And even today we tell people, you know, sometimes evangelistically, people will say, well, God loves you, and he's got a perfect plan for your life. And if people are like, well, I got a pretty good plan for my life. I don't even know about your God, right? But for us as believers, when we come together to worship this time, are you being encouraged to think, right? Remember, consider that think about. How is it that we can love God more? Why should we love God more? What other thing has God done that we begin to realize or we begin to experience and grow in that draws me to love him more? Oftentimes when we go through difficult times in our lives, every time for a believer, when you go through a difficult time in your life and you feel the nearness of the Lord, and you experience his salvation, how do we know those two things are going to happen? Because it's in the scriptures. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So when I pray for someone who is a brother and sister in Christ, and they're having a day like we just talked about, it's a day to remember, a day that would be difficult for us, I want to pray for them to feel the nearness of the Lord. He's not far. He's near. But oftentimes our view is so clouded by the things of this world, the distractions, that we don't recognize his nearness. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Call out to Jesus. Man, oftentimes we're calling everybody else in the world other than the one that can save. You know? We want to feel the nearness of our God. And all of those things, we find opportunities to stimulate each other to that kind of love. I want to stimulate you to love God. I'm not here to stimulate you to love the preacher or the music or the building. I'm not here to stimulate you to do those things. I want to stimulate you to love God. And you need to love God because of what He has done for you. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us and delivered up His own Son for us. Oh my goodness. With that kind of love, He deserves devotion and service. Verse 13 of Deuteronomy 6 says, "You shall fear only the Lord your God." And that fear is that holy reverence. "And you shall worship Him." You shall worship Him. The word worship there is abad. And that word is to serve. It is literally to become a servant of, a slave, to enslave yourself to one. And we enslave ourselves to God. And our love for Him must not be divided. He is one. And our love for Him is unified. It is integral into who we are. All right? That word integrity, y'all remember what that word means? Years ago, they had a men's movement. What was the name of that thing? I can't even remember.
Promise keepers,
men of integrity, promise keepers, men of integrity. It was all over the country, big thing. I went to Atlanta, sang incredible hymns with 64,000 men in one place. That was awesome, right? But I always thought about, what is that word integrity? It means, it deals with oneness, sameness, oneness. The Lord our God is one, and those who are men of integrity are one as well. I'm the same guy today that I will be tomorrow when I go to work, or the weekend when I go to hunting camp, or in the middle of the night when I'm all alone. I'm the same guy. I have the same love for my Father because I am now a servant of the living God. In 1 John chapter 5, John says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." So what I'm stimulating you to do today is to love God. In other words, I'm stimulating you to keep His commandments because we serve Him. I don't want you to do things because it's what the preacher said. I want you to do things because you have looked into God's Word and you've seen what is pleasing to Him, and then you, by nature, because He's changed that nature, right? He's given you a spirit now that can seek Him and then obey Him. You know, before Christ, you can't obey God. You can't obey God. You might try to keep some rules, but you will not obey God. You will not love Him. You cannot love Him until the Holy Spirit awakens in you the knowledge of what He's done for you. Now, there are people who might hear the story of Jesus and feel guilty and then not find their way to love for Him. They just feel bad about the place that they're in. That's not salvation. We love God. And so what I'm here to do today is stimulate you to love God. See, our love for Him, remember this statement a few weeks, I know y'all don't remember this. A few weeks ago I made this statement that our service to God is inseparable from our love for Him. You can't separate our service and our love. If you do, you get legalism. Here's your statement for today. Our love for Him is inseparable from our service to Him. You can't say you love God if you're not going to keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. That's what John said in 1 John chapter 5. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. I want you to seek God, ask God, knock, gain wisdom, ask Him for wisdom, seek His face in His Word, and then obey. Obey. That's what we need to be doing today, is stimulating one another to do that. By the way, it's not just the preacher standing up here going, this is what y'all need to do. Each one of us needs to be stimulating each other towards love. Love of the Father. Secondly, love for our neighbor. Matthew 22, the second's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law. So how then do I stimulate you to love your neighbor? And who is your neighbor, by the way? Because that was the question that was asked of Jesus. Oh, well then, who is my neighbor? So then Jesus begins to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. But who is my neighbor? Well, first and foremost, in here, in this body of believers, our neighbor is the one another's. Our brothers and sisters in Christ who love God. He says in John chapter 13, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. All right, so there's a commandment. You say you love God, there's your first commandment right there. Love one another. Love one another. And that question that came earlier about which is more important, the loving God or loving your neighbor, you know what? They're integral. There's that word again. They're one. You say you love God, but you don't love your neighbor, you're a liar. That's what John said, 1 John. You can't love your neighbor if you don't love God. You don't know how. You won't have a context for it. It will be fleshly, and it won't work. And ultimately, you'll be frustrated because they're going to reject you. That's just the reality of it. But we love one another because our Lord has commanded us to. And He says, do you do that with a standard? So I'm going to ask you, how much, I would start to say, how much is my wife supposed to love me? But that would be, let's change. How much is John supposed to love me? How much? Or how is he supposed to love me? Huh? Say that again louder. Well, as he loves himself, but look, what did John say in John 13? I want you to love one another as I have loved you. So we're to love each other in the same way and in the same amount that Jesus loved us. There's your standard. You see, a lot of times people say, well, you know, I love them, but I can't be around them. I can't stand them people. I love them, though. I love them. Let me ask you a question. Where would we be today if God says, well, man, I love my creation. I love these folks. They lost as a duck, man. Look at what they're doing. I can't do nothing about that. Where would we be? Lost as a duck. See, this is the whole foundation of the gospel. Is we're dead in our trespasses and our sins. We're lost as a duck. And God, being rich in mercy and His love, this great love He has for us, looks and says, it's not good enough. They can't fix it. Oh, well. And so God Himself takes on flesh to become a man just like we are, to do what we couldn't do. And He fixed it. He tore that veil. He tore the flesh, which was His Son. So when I ask you, is John supposed to go, man, that preacher's wonky. I don't like him for squat. I love him, You know, I love him because he's my brother in Christ, but I don't like him for squat. How does that work? It doesn't. We have this same pattern in with each other that Christ has had with us. Love one another as I have loved you. So what did Jesus do for you? He gave up himself for you. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to love each other deeply, really, genuinely, completely. Give yourself up for each other. That's what love is. The love that I have for my wife doesn't work if it's not agape, self-sacrificing love. If it's only one of these other kinds of love, it won't last. There won't be a genuine fellowship and relationship. It's only when it's a self-sacrificing love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and did what? Gave himself up for her. That's your example. So how are you going to love each other? You're going to give up your own desires, your own needs, your own wants for others in the church. We're going to pick out carpet colors one of these days. Tell me how it's going to go. Is it going to be a fight? Is it going to be, I like them brown tones. Them crazy folks like that green stuff. And if I don't get, if they buy that, I ain't going back. You ever heard something like that? You ever heard something like that? You see how silly that sounds? I didn't even have to make that be funny to be funny. That's silly when you think of it in comparison to Christ giving himself for us, and that's the demonstration of love. And how then will I respond when that question comes? I don't care. Put carpet, put gravel. I don't care. Just be here. I love you. You see what I'm saying? Lane said, don't put gravel. Because he was already thinking it. He's like, we can pave that thing.
He used to lie.
Yeah.
She said, don't put gravel.
Yeah. We can pave that thing. We won't ever have to worry about it again. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? I want to stimulate you to love each other that way. I'm done. I'll be honest with you. I'm done with this superficial, mamby-pamby kind of love that says, you got to do it my way or I can't love you. That's not the love of Christ. That is not what we're given. Love one another in the same way that Jesus has loved us. And by the way, he's commanded us to. And if we don't do that, we're being disobedient to the Father. Oh, and by the way, disobedience is not love for the Father. Disobedience is not love for the Father. So how then do I stimulate you to love one another? Well, I want you to be together. I want you to serve one another. We're servants of God. Serve one another. Demonstrated love for one another. You want to see the body of Christ grow? I mean, I'm almost out of time. You want to see the body of Christ grow in this place? Love one another. Period. It ain't about a program. It's not about the greatest thing that's coming. It's not about all of those things. Love one another. This is how they will know, Jesus said, by the love that you have one for another. That's the tale. If you don't genuinely love one another, it'll be very evident. It'll be very evident. If you love each other, it will be equally evident. And the folks out there, we're going to see that. I promise you, we're getting there. The folks out there, they want to see that. And they will see that. And they will be drawn to that. I'll tell you one story. So I have a friend, brother in Christ, who at one point was not. But he began to come to our Thursday night Bible study meetings. And he was a great guy, good old boy, do anything in the world for you, lost as a duck, liked to hunt and fish just like me, good looking guy, just like me. great guy, but he was lost. He started coming to Sunday school because his wife went to church. He didn't go to church. He started coming to church because his wife came to church. Started coming to Sunday school because we invited him. Y'all want people to come? Invite them. All right? It's not rocket science. We invited him to Sunday school. He starts coming to Sunday school. Then I invite him to our men's group, Thursday night Bible study. He starts coming to Thursday night Bible study, which is just a bunch of redneck guys doing redneck things.
And there were cookies.
Oh, there were cookies, by the way, and ice cream at times. But you know, we're in there studying the scriptures. We're seeking, knocking, asking to know God. But those guys loved each other. The guys in that group, they loved each other. Genuinely loved each other. And he's coming, all of these things. And one Sunday morning, I'm standing at church, and I always sit on the front way over to the side because Kelly played the piano, and I sit close to my bride while she played the piano. Sitting over there, and the preacher preaches, and he gets to the end and asks for anybody that wants to come forth and make a confession. And down the aisle he comes. And he gets down there and he makes his confession, and he says, asked him, he says, what is it, you know, what drew you to Christ? And he said, you know, I saw these guys and they just love each other. And I wanted what they have. You see what I'm saying? If we'll love each other, God will take care of the rest. God will take care of the rest. I promise you. If you'll just love each other. So today, I want to encourage you. I made it through one point of this sermon. No, I didn't. I didn't even make it through one. I'm two-thirds through one point. I want to stimulate you to love God. Submit to Him. Be obedient to Him. Seek Him. Trust Him. Love God. And then love each other. Okay? Because what follows after that is the love of the world. And I'm not talking about the worldly stuff. I'm talking about the people that make up the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, for the love of Christ controls me. It compels me. It is the love of Christ that compels me to go, to talk to people, to share this good news with them. See, God's given us that ministry of reconciling the world to Himself. He's given that to His people. We proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus, not only here, but in our everyday lives, and that we're begging people as ambassadors of Christ, we're begging people, be reconciled to God. Be right with God. That's our heart's desire. When I love God, I want other people to love God. When I love Christ, I want other people to see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ. And so I'm going to share it. So I want to stimulate you today to love God with everything that you are. Submit to Him as a servant, obey His commands. I want you to love each other, not only as yourself, but as Christ has loved you. Love each other. And then I want you to share this good news with a world that needs to hear it, man. They're lost. They're dying. And they need to hear. And oftentimes we think, especially in Reformed circles, well, God's sovereign. He knows who are His. You know, what do I need to do? What do I need to be in that? One, because you're commanded to. You say you love God. Go. Make disciples of all the nations. That's your job. Right? Sharing the love of Christ is the greatest privilege that you have as a believer. Just to simply share why you love God. Matt, what you going to do tomorrow when somebody goes, why don't you go to church, man? Why don't you go down there? Ain't that many of y'all. Why don't you do that? What are you going to say? Are you ready to give an account of the hope that dwells within you? The love of God and the love of the people around us. So that's, we want to stimulate each other towards that. And that's our hope's desire. Let's have our closing hymn.